Well, turn, if you would, in your Bibles now to John chapter 15, Gospel of John chapter 15. Tonight we're continuing our Thursday Advent series on the names of Jesus, the I Am names that Jesus claims for himself, with our anchor verse, John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 1. If you're there now, and we'll read through verse 11. Chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, this is Jesus speaking, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Is your joy full tonight? Is his joy in you? Are you abiding in him, church? Are you abiding in his love, and is he abiding in you, friends? Are some of you feeling the Father's pruning this week so that you might bear much fruit in your life? Is Jesus your vine? Is Jesus your vine? And are you his branches, such that his life is flowing in and through you, dear ones? Are you bearing much fruit? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, oh, how we want to abide in you now. You as our vine, and we as your branches, we want to bear good fruit, abiding in your love, Lord Jesus, with you, with your joy in us, our joy complete. Amen. Well, we're in John chapter 15 and verse 1 tonight. I am the true vine, if you're keeping count. Is anyone keeping count tonight? I am the true vine is the seventh of seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. Seven of seven from John chapter 6 all the way to John chapter 15, where we start tonight, bread of life. Some of you have these memorized. Light of the world. Door of the sheep. Resurrection in the life, good shepherd, way, truth in the life, and finally, the true vine. I am the true vine, seven of seven. Seven of seven. And in the Bible, as you know, seven is the number of completeness and perfection, both physical and spiritual. And our passage tonight is so completely perfect in its picture of our salvation, what we've been saved from, the withering, burning death. But even more, what we've been saved into, what we've been saved into, the indwelling, abiding life in Him, the completeness and perfection of our joy. Seven of seven. Seven of seven. So in the spirit of the number seven, in the next 17 minutes or so, I want to take a short walk with you tonight, winding in and around our Bibles in seven steps. Seven steps, and they're in your outline tonight's twisting and turning through God's Word like a vine, starting at the Last Supper in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine," and ending on the cross four chapters later in John 19, where Jesus takes the sour wine. Seven steps from the Last Supper to the cross tonight. Seven steps from vine to wine. From vine to wine, but not in a straight line. Not in a straight line tonight, and we're going to start slowly, but accelerate fast. So stay with me. If you love God's Word, you're going to enjoy this. So follow very closely now, beginning with step one, John chapter 15 and verse 1. This is where we start tonight in Jerusalem at the Last Supper. This is part of the Upper Room Discourse in John 15. Shortly after Judas has left the room, as Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the true vine. I am the true vine." And when Jesus says he is the true vine, the metaphor that Jesus is using here is a grapevine. A grapevine. A vine with branches that produce grapes. Did I start too slow tonight? A grapevine, this is very important. Not a kudzu vine, not a watermelon vine, not a cucumber vine, but a grapevine. Like the grapevines you would see in a vineyard. In a vineyard. And vineyards would be fresh in the disciples' minds where we are right here in John 15, like the vineyards the disciples might have just walked through and seen as they were with Jesus entering triumphantly into Jerusalem, like the vineyards they had just heard about in the two parables Jesus taught in Matthew, right before the Last Supper in Matthew 21. Remember those two vineyard parables? The two vineyard parables in Matthew 21, that's our step two, if you're following along in the outline. If you want to turn there now, we're going to make a quick stop at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Where you find the parable of the two sons, first, about workers in a vineyard. And then the parable of the wicked vine dressers, about tenants in the vineyard, which starts in Matthew 21, 33. Parable of the wicked vine dressers, right after Jesus has entered Jerusalem triumphantly and before the Last Supper, by way of context here. And this is Jesus speaking to the chief priests and elders in the temple, if you remember that, who are clearly the chief priests and elders who are clearly in this parable the wicked vine dressers. They're the wicked vine dressers in this parable, as Matthew tells us, as compared to the good vine dresser that Jesus names in John 15 and verse 1, where we started just a short time chronologically after Matthew 21. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." But before Jesus gets to the part about the vine dressers in the parable, he starts out by saying something that all the listeners at that time, the chief priests, the disciples, all the listeners at that time would have immediately recognized starting here in verse 33, in chapter 21 and verse 33 of Matthew, the wicked vine dresser parable. Here another parable Jesus starts out by saying, there was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, which, and this is very important, is Jesus directly quoting from Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, it's a direct quote from Isaiah chapter 5, how he starts the parable of the wicked vine dressers, and that's step 3 in our vine light walk through the Bible tonight. If you want to turn there now to Isaiah chapter 5, we just did a quick pit stop in Matthew 21, and now we're headed step number 3 to Isaiah chapter 5. And while you turn there, I want you to think about this question. And I know this group can flip pages and think at the same time. So here's the question. If the Father is the good vine dresser, as compared to the wicked vine dresser tenants, the chief priests and elders, and Jesus is the true vine, then who's the false vine? Who's the false vine? Have I got you thinking now? You're starting to warm up in this walk. I can see that. Who is the false vine? There must be a false vine. If Jesus is the true vine, there must be a false vine, a counterfeit grapevine. If Jesus is the true vine, then who is the false vine? Are you there in Isaiah chapter 5 now? Because the false vine, what Jesus is comparing himself, goes back to the vineyard that Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And let me read this whole section. Follow closely. This imagery is just so powerful. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking in Isaiah chapter 5, starting in verse 1. My Bible, by the way, has the subtitle here, God's Disappointing Vineyard, which is a nice understatement. Chapter 5 in Isaiah in verse 1. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. And here's the direct quote that starts the parable in Matthew 21, verse 2. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. Did you catch all that? So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, verse 5, please, let me tell you what I will do in my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. Verse 7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. This is the explanation now. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are its pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. Did you get all that? The explanation at the end, I think, helps. God created a vineyard here in Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah prophesied, complete with a tower and a wine press, and he planted the choicest of vines, the men of Judah. The choicest of vine, the men of Judah. Don't you love this imagery? But, and here's the twist, instead of good grapes for good wine from the true vine, this vineyard brought forth wild grapes from the false vine. Wild grapes from the false vine which Isaiah compares to Israel. That was in the explanation. The men of Judah, the false vine, as does the prophet Jeremiah in the next book over in the same way. In Jeremiah 2 and verse 21, you don't need to turn there. This is not one of our steps. But Jeremiah chapter 2, 21 says, I had planted you like a choice vine. This is, again, the Lord rebuking his people of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? A corrupt wild vine with wild grapes on a wild vine for making bad wine? Or no wine? Who can tell me tonight what wild grapes, what kind of wine wild grapes make? Bad wine? No wine?
Sour wine,
okay. I'm not a winemaker, but I'm pretty sure that wild grapes make no wine, particularly bad grapes. Wild grapes on burned down, trampled down vines described in Isaiah chapter 5. Bad grapes make no wine. No wine, which if you want to take the next step, step number 4, to the beginning of John's gospel, back to your outline, step number 4 is exactly where the gospel of John begins. With no wine. This is exactly where the gospel of John begins. Maybe bad wine, then no wine. The Gospel of John begins in chapter 2, if you want to turn back to the Gospel of John. This is step 4. No wine. John chapter 2, right after the prologue at the wedding feast in Cana, starting with Mary telling Jesus in verse 2, they have no wine. No wine. No wine, Mary says to Jesus, which I can see you already get the allusion back to Isaiah chapter 5 and the reference to the burned down, trampled under vineyard that produces no wine, no wine, no wine, Mary tells Jesus, right at the beginning of the gospel account to which Jesus turns water into wine. And you know the story, and so for the sake of time tonight, I won't read this very familiar account in chapter 2, but I do want to draw your attention to the amount of wine in this story, the sheer volume of wine in this story in John chapter 2. Anyone remember how much water Jesus turns into wine in this story? Don't peek at your Bibles. How much water did Jesus turn into wine from no wine? Six water pots. That's a good start.
20 to 30 gallons.
I think you may have peeked in your Bible there, Mom. From no wine to somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons of wine. That's gallons. Gallons of wine with a capital G. Six water pots, as Stedmore reminded us, up to the brim times 20 to 30 gallons per water pot, according to verse 6, which in today's water bottles, in today's wine bottles, is the equivalent of something like 600 to 900 bottles of wine. Did everybody know that? 600 to 900 bottles of wine in chapter 2 of John's account. 600 to 900 bottles of the good wine, not the bad wine, as the master of the wedding feast tells the unnamed bridegroom in verse 10, you have kept the good wine until now, a superabundance of the good wine from good grapes, from the true vine, as many as 900 bottles. Isn't that incredible? 900 bottles from no wine to a superabundance of wine, the picture of which takes us right back to Isaiah. And here we are at step 5. If you're still tracking with me, is everybody still tracking with me? We're on step 5 and we're headed back to Isaiah. We're headed back to Isaiah chapter 25. We went from John 15 on our way to Matthew 21, then to Isaiah 5, then to John 2, turning water to wine, and now back vine-like to Isaiah 25. And this is step 5. Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, because in the Old Testament prophets, and Isaiah is one of those, if you've taken step 5 with us now in this meandering walk, a superabundance of wine, listen to this closely, a superabundance of wine in the Old Testament prophets, the very opposite picture of where we started in John's account with no wine, a superabundance of wine was often a picture of salvation. Superabundance of good wine from good grapes, from the true vine, sweet wine, wine on the lees, an endless, overflowing superabundance of wine, as Isaiah prophesies here in chapter 25 and verse 6. Listen, this is such a glorious vision of our restoration and salvation, starting in verse 6 of chapter 5 of Isaiah. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. Or as Amos prophesies, you don't have to go there, in Amos chapter 9 and verse 13, write this down, your reference, or write this reference down, or take a look at the outline. In Amos 9:13, Amos prophesies, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." Or in Joel chapter 3 and verse 18, listen to this. This is the prophet Joel. "And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine." The mountains shall drip with new wine, Joel says, or Amos, sweet wine, or Isaiah, well-refined wines on the lees. Praise the Lord. And all the hills shall flow with it. All the hills shall flow with wine. Can you picture that tonight? A feast of wines on the lees, poured out for a wedding feast, with the hills flowing with wine, like the wedding feast in Cana, with 900 bottles of wine for one wedding feast with an unnamed bridegroom at the beginning of John's gospel. Which brings us to another wedding feast, if you will, near the end of Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 14, and this is step 6, if you want to turn there now. Mark chapter 14. Step 6, we're almost home. Another wedding feast in Mark chapter 14 as Jesus celebrates the Last Supper with his disciples. Is everyone still with me? Mark chapter 14, verse 23. "And then Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them," his disciples, "and they all drank from it." Verse 24. "And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant, the new wedding covenant, the new marriage of the new union, the new life together abiding in me. And then verse 25, Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you," and write this down, Underline this in your Bibles. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God, which is the same fruit of the vine. And I think Dad was getting here. The same fruit of the vine. I want to say this slowly so everybody gets it tonight. This is the same fruit of the vine that Jesus takes on the cross to inaugurate the kingdom of God. The very fruit of the vine that Jesus drinks new on the cross, where the gospel writer John, this is step 7 if you're keeping track still, ends his passion account with one last cup of wine. In John chapter 9, back to John again. This is step 7. John chapter 19. Step 7, 7 of 7. Step 7 of 7, the number of completeness and perfection. In John 19 and verse 28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Verse 29, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and just like Moses had instructed back in Exodus to dip the hyssop in the basin of blood, so they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to Jesus' mouth. In verse 30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Finally, verse 34, a few verses down. And our vine light walk through the Bible is now complete. Verse 34, as one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with his spear, Jesus poured out his blood as a gift of himself to his bride. His blood poured out as the good wine. The good wine. Do you believe that tonight? The good wine from the true vine for his branches, for you and me, so that we might bear good fruit in his name. Did somebody need to hear that tonight? So that we might bear good fruit in his name, true grapevine, not the false vine with wild grapes, turning no wine into sweet wine in superabundance for the wedding feast, consummated on the cross with the fruit of the vine, overflowing, everlasting, the fullness of joy. Are you abiding in his love tonight? Let me open up our time of prayer. Lord Jesus, you said if we abide in you and your words abide in us, then we will ask what we desire and it shall be done for us. So tonight, we want to ask you our greatest desire. Our greatest desire. Our greatest desire that we might abide in you. As branches of the true vine, we want to abide in you now, in your love. We pray, amen.